Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Oh.
We're awake.
Oh, good, good. Is it me? Okay, all right. I'm going to bring this up here, I think. I requested a leather recliner to sit by the fireplace, and they didn't come through, so anyway. How's everybody doing this morning?
Good.
I missed you guys last Sunday. I was in Colorado skiing. I also had a conference that I went to, a youth ministry conference, and it was great, but I missed being here, so I'm glad I'm back. There was a couple of old friends, we'll call them Bernie and Ralph. Bernie was invited to Ralph's house dinner one evening, and In Ralph, as the night was going on, would refer to his wife as sweetie and honey and pumpkin and sweetheart. And Bernie noticed that, and eventually Bernie turns to Ralph and he says, it's just so nice that after all these years of you guys being married that you still call your wife by these pet names. And Ralph leaned his head down to Bernie and said, to tell you the truth, I forgot her name 3 years ago. Have you ever been in that situation where you recognize somebody's face, but you completely forget their name? That happened to me this past week when I was at this conference. This couple, I saw them coming across the convention center at me, and I knew I had recognized them. I knew I knew them from somewhere, but I could not remember their names. And I was like, well, I can do the whole, hey, you, thing, and maybe it'll come to me. Well, the problem was is that they came and started talking to me, and they were asking me personal questions about my family and, like, naming kids by name. And I was like, I don't even know your name. So I was like, how are your kids? Hoping that they had kids. Thankfully, they did. And then finally, but you get put in that situation, it's uncomfortable, and you feel, I don't know, you feel like, I don't know, you feel like you should know what's going on. Has it ever happened to you, maybe in a religious conversation? You're talking to somebody about religion, and they start talking about Jesus, and you start thinking, you know what? That doesn't sound at all like the Jesus that I know. Jesus you're talking about is completely different than the one I know. In our world today, we've got, 7 billion people or more in our world today? There are millions of versions of Jesus. And people will say one thing and then somebody will say something that's completely contradictory about Jesus. And this is something that we have to deal with in our world today, but it's not a new problem. This is something that even as Jesus was here on earth, he had to deal with. So this morning, we're going to look at John chapter 7. I forgot this thing. That was supposed to go with my story. John chapter 7. So if you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 7. Begin in verse 1. And actually, we're going to read the first 5 verses here. It says, after this, Jesus went around in Galilee, purposely staying away from Judea because the Jews were waiting to take his life. But when the Jewish feast of Tabernacles was near, Jesus' brothers said to him, you leave here and go to Judea so that your disciples may see the miracles you do. No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. Since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world. For even his own brothers did not believe in him. The passage gives us a setup, okay? Setup is first of all, we have this group that's referred to as the Jews. And this is really the Jewish authorities. These were the people who were over the Jewish religion, who had all the answers. And now while regular people, the regular Jews, loved Jesus and they got joy from Jesus' messages and they got life from Jesus' message, the Jewish authorities wanted to kill him because he was speaking something that went against what they were saying. He was revealing God's true nature while they were trying to keep religion as key. Religion is paramount, while Jesus was trying to open up a relationship with God. So there's the Jews. Then you have this Feast of Tabernacles that's going on. This is also called the Feast of Booths. Maybe in some of your Bibles it says the Feast of Booths. This is one of three religious festivals that Jewish males were required to attend. And basically what they would do is they would set up booths made out of tree branches, like kind of like teepee type things. They would build these, they would live in them for 7 days. And this was to commemorate the Israelites wandering in the wilderness. And so this is what's going on in Judea. And they got his brothers, and these are actually Jesus' physical brothers, okay? This is not just a term used to say people that Jesus was close with. This is his actual physical brothers. What's interesting here is that his brothers are encouraging him to go to Judea, the place where the Jewish leaders are who want to kill him. All right? Are you getting this? This is sibling rivalry at its worst, right? I don't know how many of you guys have boys, right? And you just had a little girl, so that's great. And you fight, right? They hit each other and stuff. If you have girls, you know it's much worse. All right? Because it's not just... Boys, when they fight, they'll punch each other and it's over, right? Okay? There might be a little bit of crying, but that's it. Okay? Girls, it goes on and on and on and on and on. It never ends. My girls are, I love them to death, and they love each other, but they fight constantly. And one of the funniest things that they do is, like, our upstairs is basically their level, and we'll hear screaming and crying sometimes. And, like, what is it? And Raylan will be like, Riley pinched me too hard. And, like, well, why did you pinch? Well, we were pinching each other. Why were you pinching each other? Just because. It was a game. And they'll cry because one of them pinched. It's crazy. But so Jesus had to deal with brothers, okay, and probably sisters too. But they're taking it to a whole new level, right? They're encouraging him to go to a place where he could possibly be killed, all right? And so that's the setup. So let's read, start at verse 6. Therefore, Jesus told them, okay, Jesus' response to his brothers who didn't believe that he was actually the Son of God and wanted him to go to a place where he could potentially be killed. He said, the right time for me has not yet come. For you, any time is right. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify that what it does is evil. You go to the feast. I'm not yet going up to the feast because for me, the right time has not yet come. Having said this, he ate in Galilee. However, after his brothers had left for the feast, he went also. Not publicly, but in secret. Now at the feast, the Jews were watching for him and asking, where is that man? Among the crowds, there was widespread whispering about him. Some said, he's a good man. Others replied, no, he deceives the people. But no one would say anything publicly about him for fear of the Jews. All right, and so the debate ensues. And Jesus clearly draws a line in the sand here with his brothers. He tells them that the world cannot hate them, but it hates him. Why is that? Why is that? Well, it's because his brothers are a part of the world. They're like the world. They don't have to do anything. They're already there. Okay? They can go to the feast because they're just like everybody else that's there. They don't have to worry about themselves. But for Jesus, since Jesus is revealing the evil in the world, revealing the truth, he's seen as an enemy. He's not of the world. He's publicly denouncing the ungodliness of the religious leaders. And so what's the great debate among the people? The great debate is his character, right? Is he a good man or not? What's he teaching? Well, why? And the people are obviously confused. Why are they confused? Well, the answer is fear, right? The answer is fear. And that's what, as you read the story of Jesus, that's what you see with the religious leaders, those people that are in charge, is this fear that comes out. And it trickles down to the people. They're afraid of the religious leaders. And Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man brings a snare. Okay? Fear traps us. Okay? It keeps us from doing the things that God would have us do. Because we're so afraid of what might happen instead of trusting in him. Jesus' character was so spotless that it scared people. It scared him so badly that they had to come up with false witnesses to accuse him. Now, Pilate, even Judas, a Roman soldier, all testified to Jesus' faultlessness. But because of his character, they were scared and they had to come up with lies about him. We know that our goal as Christians is to be Christ-like. But how does the world accept your character? Are we so afraid of being different from the world that we conform to it? Is it that fear that draws that same line between that Jesus draws between men? So we see three different groups here. The group one is those that are against Jesus and who are part of the world. And that's like his own brothers. And in our world today, we have those same people, right? And there are people that are publicly against Jesus. Okay, we know who those people are. Those people don't hide, right? They're more than willing to stand out and express their beliefs or disbelief of Jesus, right? So there's that group one. Group two are those that are secretly for Jesus. And this is the group that's the most dangerous. Okay? Because these are the people that will go to church on Sunday morning, maybe Wednesday night, but the rest of the week you cannot tell them apart from the rest of the world. These are the people that are secret admirers of Jesus, but won't come right out and follow him. And then the third group of people here are those that are openly for Jesus. Those who accept and follow Jesus without any reservation at all. And these are comprised of the people that have nothing to lose. Right? Those that have nothing to lose. You read about Jesus' disciples. And man, they really had nothing to lose. Especially when he is crucified and they're waiting around, and then he comes back, and they go on to become apostles and take the message to the world. They have nothing to lose. This is the group we want to be in, okay? This is the one we want to be in. But if you had to place yourself in one of these three groups, where would you fall? Where would you fall? I think if we're honest, most of us are going to fall in that group too. Most of us probably would fall in that group too. And this isn't me coming down on anybody. Hey, I do it too, right? Because we live in a society that we don't approach persecution like a lot of countries do, right? We're not persecuted. We can talk about how hard it is in America for Christians now, but we're really not persecuted, okay? But I think the lack of persecution makes it harder for us as Christians to live openly for Jesus, Right? Because there's such a blurred line between being a Christian and being an American today. And we've got to figure out how we can say, hey, I'm a Christian and a Christian only. Right? I'm not any of these other things. I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm going to step out and openly follow Him and not worry about what my fellow Americans think, not worry about what my fellow Tennesseans think. Right? That story goes on. 14 through 18 says, not until halfway through the feast did Jesus go up to the temple and begin to teach. The Jews were amazed and asked, how did this man get such learning without having studied? And Jesus answered, my teaching is not my own. It comes from Him who sent me. If anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. He who speaks on his own does so to gain honor for himself. But he who works for the honor of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There is nothing false about him. So they debated not only over Christ's character, but they also debated over his doctrine. And you hear they're saying, hey, he didn't go to our schools. He didn't learn from our people. How is it that he can teach us? And Jesus says, if anybody wants to know whether I'm teaching truthfully or not, you got to be willing to obey my will. You got to be willing to step out and try it. Got a video here. That some of you might have seen already, but I think it illustrates this point about just trusting God's will, all right? Trusting Jesus' teachings and stepping out and doing what He asks us to do. Go ahead.
Sure. All right, here's the deal. Marshmallow, for you. You can either wait, and I'll give you another one if you wait, or you can eat it now. When I come back, I'll give you another one, so then you'll have two. But stay in here and stay in the chair till I come back, okay? All right. I'm gonna go do something and then I'll come back.
It smells yummy. It smells really good.
either way, okay? Okay. How'd you do? Did you do good? You did?
Yeah.
You wanted to eat it, didn't you? Yeah. So did I tell you I'd give you another one? Okay, now you can have both.
All right. Okay. What? That video, I think, describes us pretty well when it comes to following Jesus, right? Jesus promises us a life that we can't have if we don't follow Him, right? He promises us real life, eternal life. But sometimes we're like those kids are just nibbling, right? We don't quite trust them. Right, we're afraid that Jesus might not actually mean what He says. That the life that He promises might not be as good as what we have now. So we kind of nibble on that marshmallow of life, right? And we just pick at it because we don't quite trust Him. Or if we're like the redheaded girl, we just go ahead and take a bite, right? But the one thing that we have to notice about the debate over Jesus, all right, is that there's a lot of authorities on Jesus who don't know Him. Who don't know Him. And that's impossible, all right? Because Jesus says that we have to know Him and submit to Him. And you can't know Jesus until you submit to Him, until you give over your own will to Jesus and follow what He has to say. He says, follow His teachings, follow My voice. Only by truly submitting in willful obedience will we ever come to experience firsthand the power in His words and the faithfulness of the Father. And one thing that we've got to understand this morning is that as the debate over Jesus rages, even today, the world's going to continue to have false ideas about Him. Some will say He's just simply a man. Some will say He's a prophet. Others will vilify Him, say that trouble started wars that last to this day. But you and me, the debate take on a completely different look. When the world denounces Jesus, that should spur us on to seek Him. When they condemn His teaching, that should cause us, it should encourage us to obey Him even more fully than we already do, so that we may understand Him better. That's what Jesus is asking us to do. He's asking us to be different than the world, because He has something better than the world has to offer for us. A lot of you guys know that already. You know that the life that Jesus has to offer is amazing. It's full. It's real in a way that the world can't offer. If you don't know that life this morning, I'd encourage you to get to know Jesus. Submit yourself to Him. To His name. Be baptized into His name and begin to follow Him. Whatever it is that you have this morning, if you have any questions, anything that's going on, that we can help you with, we can pray for you, or we can actually help you out. Whatever that is, if you have anything, please come forward as we stand and sing.
This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst at my side. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Thank you again for being with us. Just really appreciate each one being here. As we close, let's go to our God in prayer. Holy Father, we thank you for this time we've shared. We thank you for the opportunity to sing praises to your name, to think about your word and the teachings of our Savior. And Father, just ask that you help each of us to be willing to live a life of submission, of acceptance, of getting to experience the glory of your love for us and your will for us in this world. Father, we just praise you. I pray you'll go with us as we leave this place. In Jesus' name, amen.